Say, preacher, why should it be daily? Because the Bible says in the book of Psalms that he daily loadeth us up with benefits. Your thanksgiving ought to be as bountiful as the blessings. Amen. You think about that. It's going to be a sad day, I'm afraid, when we stand before the precious Lord of heaven with the ingratitude that we are so guilty of. I believe we're going to be ashamed. We'll be ashamed before him. Amen. Largely, we're going to be ashamed before him. Because when we see him, we're going to be... See, now we're just getting bits and pieces and just glimpses through the Word. You know, this is not everything God knows. It's just all he wants us to know. And we just get glimpses. But one day he's going to reveal himself in all of his glory. He's going to reveal, manifest himself in all of his glory. And we that are saved will have a glorified body, and we'll have to have one to be able to stand it. Now we're living by faith, but one day our faith will turn to sight. One day our faith and hope is going to be... Did you know there's a day that your faith will end? There's a day that hope will end. That's when we see him. Praise God. But Corinthians talks about faith, hope, and charity, and the greatest of these is charity. Faith and hope will end one day, but charity will never end. We're going to love him forever. We're going to love him forever. And what's going to stir us up and is that when he reveals himself to us, Brother J.R., he's going to have, and I believe I can prove it in the Scripture, he's going to have the same mutilated body that he had when they took him down from that cross. Amen. The same. Oh, yes, you can believe that. And, you know, he even told Thomas, said, reach hither your hand and thrust it into my side, meaning that that wound was still open. You know, here's my hands, you know. It's me, Thomas. You know, and when we get to heaven, it's not going to be the mansions that's going to be attractive. Take that out. Take those out and it'd still be heaven. It's not going to be the street of gold. Take that out. Make it just an old dirt road through town. You know, and it'll still be heaven. Take the walls of jasper out and the gates of pearl. Take all of those things out. And it will still be heaven. It'll still be heaven. And what's going to make it heaven is him. He's the light of that city. He's going to be the majesty of that city and of eternity. And he'll be the melody and theme and song and subject of the redeemed. And we're going to be praising him for him redeeming us by his blood. Oh, yes, forever and ever and ever and ever. One of the worst things about living in this life and in the flesh, we get used to and familiar with great things. Nothing greater than salvation, and look how many people get used to that. You get accustomed to it, and when you first got saved, you didn't hardly know what to do with it. It was so big and fabulous and great and marvelous and beyond description. You try to stand up to testify about it, and you do your best to try to reach into your vocabulary and pull out adjectives and try to magnify its bigness. But when you sit down, you think, I never even touched the surface of how good that salvation is. Hallelujah. Amen, that's right. But oh, one day, we're going to step out of this world, step out of time, and step out of the flesh, and step into have a new body and live in a new world with no restrictions, no hindrances, Thank God, no encumbrances, no weights that would beset us, no worries, no cares. Amen. No discouragements, no disappointments. It's going to be beyond our ability to comprehend in this life. And we'll never get used to it. The ability to grow old is gone. The ability for things to, for you to get used to things. It will be the eternal freshness. The blood of Jesus Christ that's on the altar is as fresh today as it was the day that it poured from Emmanuel's veins. Hallelujah. Get a hold of that. Oh, yeah. So you say, preacher, what in the world are we going to do for trillions of years plus? What in the world? I mean, preacher, surely there's not that much that we can do. Here, you know, you only do so much and you do it a little bit and you get used to it and you get bored with it and you got to have something else. Heaven is the land of eternal freshness. So what does that mean? 10 trillion years from the first day you step foot in heaven, it'll be as fresh to you as the day you, the moment you entered. The first time you see Jesus in that majesty and the awe and the awesomeness, 10 trillion years, it'll still be awesome and still be breathtaking and hallelujah. Son, listen, if you're lost, you don't want to miss heaven. You miss heaven, you're going to miss it all. You're going to miss it all. Boy, I'm glad I'm saved this morning. Just thinking this morning, the altar praying, Lord, where would I be without you? Lord, you've been so good to me. You blessed me. I said, Lord, you even blessed me before I was ever in a thought, before I was ever conceived, before I was ever born, before anybody ever knew me. Lord, you've been good to me. You let me be born in America. You let me be born in the Bible Belt. You let me be born in the buckle of the Bible Belt. You let me be born in a family that's saturated with the gospel and a godly heritage. I didn't deserve that. I didn't choose that. I had nothing to do with that. Absolutely nothing to do with that. I could have just as easily been born in some third world country. I could have just as easily been born a Muslim. I could have been born in a Jehovah's Witness family. I could have been born in a Catholic family. I could have been born somewhere in a jungle where they worship crocodiles and four-footed beasts and the fowls of the air or the sun or the moon. I could have been taught that and been raised to believe that that was right. Never lay eyes on a Bible. I could have been there, Brother Bob. Never lay eyes on God's Word. Never hold it in my hands. Never read it. Never know that John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I could have never known that verse. Are you listening? Thank God, the work and the mercies that God bestowed on me before I was ever even born. And then after I was born, the raising and training that I received and exposure that I received and the praying that was made over me, praying over me, and the church that I attended to hear preaching and see the saints of God worship. I've been exposed to a lot. But then I thought about and thanked the Lord for when I got up of age and started making stupid choices. And stupid choices equals sinful choices. Because sinfulness and stupidity goes together in the Scripture. And I began to think how many times I had a classic opportunity to have ruined my life. Thought about this, God's just been running a recorder back through my mind. I thought about times when if the devil had his way, I'd have never preached. because I'd have been disqualified to have preached. If I'd have married the woman, the girl that I was engaged to when I got saved, I wouldn't be here today. She would have destroyed me. She would have ruined me. She would have done exactly what she ended up doing anyway. She walked off. She didn't want nothing to do with God. Well, I'm glad I found that out before we got married. I'm glad I found that out. Amen. My soul. And I thought, my goodness, Lord, you've just been so good. What have I got to complain about? What have I got to be down about? What have I got to be discouraged about? I'm telling you, the Lord's been good to us. Amen. This morning. I mean, there's no question about that. And I don't know but what the greatest sin that we commit is ingratitude. I really do. I think that. I thought about this morning. Just a couple of some questions. Which do you tend to talk about more? Your blessings or your disappointments? You know, most of us tend to talk about the disappointments. I guess because our flesh is so geared to the negative and to the dark side, and we talk about those disappointments. Then I said, I asked the question, are we a complainer? Complaining, grumbling about finding faults with our circumstances? These questions here would reveal probably if we're grateful or not. If we're guilty of ingratitude, if we're guilty of not being thankful to the Lord. Are you content with what you have and always dissatisfied, wanting more? Most of us say yes, probably. Do you find it easier to count your blessings, or is it easier to count your afflictions? Would others around you say that you are a thankful person? Do we exhibit gratitude this morning? I know thanksgiving is a very important word. It's a Bible word. But you can't separate thanksgiving from thanksgiving. If you're not living a thanksgiving life, then you're truly not thankful. Amen. My soul, may God help us this morning. I want you to open your Bibles this morning. I'm not sure really all that I'm going to do this morning. I've got several messages that God has laid on my heart that He wants me to be preaching here. And sometimes I struggle with what to preach, and then sometimes I struggle with when to preach it. I know God wants me to preach certain things and spoke to my heart and about certain things, but this morning it seemed like none of those things that God has laid on our heart in the past is what God wants this morning. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I'm not sure how long I'll be up in front of you this morning, but if God could somehow rebuke us this morning, reprimand our heart, convict us for being ungrateful, I believe that it would help us. How many of you this morning really, especially if you know the Bible, know how important thanksgiving is to God? How big a deal it is to God? It's a big deal, amen, no doubt about it. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, and then we're going to look to Romans chapter number 1, if you want to go ahead and be turning there. Romans chapter number 1. How long's it been since you thanked the Lord? I mean, from your heart. I thought about this morning getting ready. It's easy to just say, thank you, Lord, and not even mean it. And the thought on my mind this morning, just getting ready, meditating about the service and about Thanksgiving and how ungrateful I am in my heart, just being honest. If my mind... if my mind is not in my thanksgiving, then I am really not thankful. If my heart is not in my thanksgiving, then I'm really not thankful. If my will and ways is not involved in my thanksgiving, then I'm not thankful. But I want to read these verses. You can stay seated because I'm not sure exactly how much we're going to read. But I want you to look in this passage with me, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And then he begins to list conditions or people and habits and life, the way they live, to identify the perilous days that are going to be in the last days. First it said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And, other things could be pointed out. Could I ask you today, would you agree with me that that list right there is a list of sin? That in the last days, perilous times will come. Perilous times means difficult days, dangerous days, demonic days, furious days, fierce days. That's coming. He didn't say they might come. You might can avoid these. He said they're coming. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. So they're coming. The point is, are we preparing ourselves? So we agreed this morning that this list is a list of sin. This list is a list of wickedness, right? Would you agree with that? I mean, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. I mean, the list goes on. This is a sinful list. This is a wicked list. But what is embedded right in the middle of it? You say, preacher, I'm not lovers of myself. I'm not covetous, boaster, proud, blasphemer. I'm not disobedient to parents. I'm not without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, and on, traitor, heady, high-minded. But I wonder, are we guilty of that one found at the end of verse 2? Unthankful. What about that? I stand amazed again this morning that God lists in this list that all of it's sin, it's wicked, it's ungodly, it's going to be identifying the way men and humanity is going to be living in the last days prior to the coming of the Lord. And in the middle of that, it said that one of those things that you and I would probably treat lightly, we would probably overlook, we would probably make light of, is unthankful. I don't want you to respond verbally to this question, but I wonder, do we really view thankfulness as a big deal? Do we view ingratitude and unthankfulness, do we view that as, God said it's listed in here with the sin of that last day. But do we view it? I have to be honest. I don't know that I view it that way in my life. Am I guilty of being unthankful? Oh my goodness. Am I guilty of ingratitude? See, I can't use you for that illustration, but I can me, because I know me. I'm ashamed of myself, how ungrateful that I am. How ungrateful, how guilty of ingratitude that I am. But do I look at it as sin? Do I look at it as wicked? Do I put it in the same classification as a traitor? I mean, are they kin? is unthankful and being a traitor kin. Unthankful and being covetous. Is that not, could that be related? Amen? I mean, we want what somebody else has. We're covetous. Why? Because we're not thankful for what we've got. I believe, and I've not done that. I just started thinking that line just now. But I wonder, could you take unthankful and attach it to everything that's listed here? And it could either be the cause or consequence of what is listed here. Perilous days. Unthankful. I'm not asking you this morning, are you guilty of being unthankful? How long has it been since you expressed with your mind and heart a gratitude to the Lord for saving you and for His goodness to you and His blessings on your life? And we may do that occasional, but I think if we do it occasionally, if we do it just once a day, I believe we're still guilty of ingratitude. I believe we're still guilty of ingratitude and unthankful, being unthankful. Look over in Romans chapter number 1. Now we know automatically when we go to Romans chapter 1 that, you know, the first thing that stands out to us is the perversion that is so clearly identified in these verses. Men leaving the natural use, you know, of the woman in verse number 27. The men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another, men with men. I don't know how the people cannot see the clarity of it here. You don't even have to interpret it. It's so clearly stated what God thinks and what God says about homosexuality and lesbianism and all the other perversions that go with it. But he's talking about here men with men working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And verse 26, it talked about the women. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Okay, I mean, we could talk about that, about what it's not normal, it's not natural for a woman to love a woman like a man, and a man to love a man like a woman. That's not natural. They've left the natural use of the body. That is not natural affections. You're not born that way, and we could preach that, and I have, and will yet again. But the point I want to show you is, you say, preacher, how did they ever get to that point? How did they get to this place to where they're so corrupt that God gave them up, in verse 24, to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves? They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And of course, you know, verse number 29, Bible says here, they were filled. But I want to point out verse 28. I meant to wait and read it next, but I won't read it now. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. A very similar list as what we read in 2 Timothy. Several of these are in that list. Few additions, but several are similar, the very same ones that are listed in 2 Timothy. But I want you to notice something here in verse number 21. Well, let's start in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. So he's telling us there what he's dealing with. He's dealing with ungodly and unrighteous men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Look at verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Still talking about the same crowd, the same people, the same ungodly, the same unrighteous. He's dealing with them. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And look at this. And neither were they thankful. As we read that list in 2 Timothy 3, Brother Randy, as we read this list in Romans chapter number 1, we could check them off. Man, I'm glad that's not me. Man, I'm glad that's not me. I'm glad I'm not that. I'm glad I don't do that. But here the Bible was careful to say that this crowd that ended up being perverts, that ended up under the judgment of God, that ended up with a reprobate mind, said this about them, and neither were they thankful. What about that? When it deals with their living, when it talks about how they live and what they're guilty of, one of the things mentioned was that they were not thankful. You say, Richard, what are you saying? I believe this, that if you're not thankful, don't be surprised at anything that you may end up doing. I believe trying to retain and have a daily spiritual gratitude in your mind and heart and will toward God, that means you're walking with a God consciousness. How can you be thankful unless you're thinking about the one that is the giver, the one that has bestowed blessings upon you? And so as we live with thanksgiving on a daily basis, we're thinking about him. We're God conscious. Amen. We're thinking on him. But here's what it does. That in itself puts a restraint in our life that would probably keep us from going the direction that many of these other characteristics would be. But if you let the thanksgiving go, you could be guilty of anything. If the devil can work ingratitude in our hearts, and I believe our churches are filled with it. Amen. I believe our churches are filled with it, and I've talked to men about this, and I've been to churches where they dotted their I's and crossed their T's, and I mean they was against everything, except breathing and eating twice a day. But the services were dead as 4 o'clock, no liberty. It was almost like it was a form. It was like they had made a God out of separation. Amen. But on the other hand, I've been to churches where they didn't dot the I's and didn't cross the T's, and they didn't have everything right, and they weren't separated. And I'm not condoning that, and God's not condoning that. But there were liberty there. There was love there. There was people praising God. There were people testifying. Probably, no doubt, on the level of their maturity. They hadn't been exposed to a lot of things. Amen. You say, what is the deal on that? And I've asked some great preachers about that, and they said, preacher, it's not that God condones the loose church and condemns the tight church. It's not that at all. It's that these that are maybe not developed spiritually, and they've not been taught and exposed to the separational sanctification teaching of the Scripture. Amen. They don't know those things, but on their level of maturity, they love the Lord. Brother Larry Wells, I esteem him high in the Lord, as high in the Lord as a Bible student of anybody I know. And that's what he said. He said, preacher, they may not have all the separation, they may not have all this and that, but they love Jesus. And they're thankful and they're grateful and they love Jesus, amen, and they worship the Lord. But then you go to some places and they're against everything, amen. In fact, they're against everything that they can't even match up to their own what they're against, amen. I've seen them collapse. I've seen some that used to go here years ago, and I've told them, I said, I'll tell you why you want me to bust your hide in the pulpit every time I get up to preach. As I said, it's because you do not have your flesh under control, and you're depending on hard preaching to try to keep you straight. I said, am I right on that or not? And he said, yeah, you're right. Amen. That's right. But anyway, are we guilty this morning of ingratitude? It said they were not thankful in verse 21. But look at the connection in verse 28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are unseemly. You say, preacher, what's the connection there? God is saying how you think affects how you live. If you don't think right, you won't live right. And I believe that the fact that they were unthankful in verse 21, and then they did not like to retain God in their knowledge in verse number 28, I believe that is showing us that there is a connection between between thinking and thanking. There's a connection between being thoughtful and being thankful. Amen. That's right. I mean, you have to be honest with yourself. You'll have to be honest with yourself through a day's time period. How many thoughts of thankfulness comes through your mind toward God for His goodness to you? Amen? If it doesn't come through your mind much, then it's not going to flow through your heart much. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, the book of Proverbs says. I believe God just wants us this morning to realize that God puts unthankfulness in the list with what we would recognize as wicked things, ungodly things, things that we would make efforts to stay away from and try to avoid and be not guilty of. But in those two lists of Romans 1 and 2 Timothy 3 is one that I'm afraid we're all guilty of, and that is unthankfulness. You say, preacher, I thanked the Lord yesterday. I'm talking about being continually thankful. When he's given this list here, Brother Brad, when he gives this list in Romans 1 and he gives this list in 2 Timothy 3, he's not talking about those covetors or just every once in a while covetors. He's not talking about those that were disobedient to parents was just every once in a while, or those that were traitors and heady and high-minded and lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. He was indicating that was a way of life. It was every day, all day, they were covetous and they were traitors and they were unthankful. God wants thanksgiving to not be something we do, but be something we are. Psalms 100 says, be ye thankful. Be thankful and bless His name. Be thankful and bless His name. God wants us to be thankful. God wants us to have a gratitude this morning, but I believe we view it as a little thing this morning when God magnifies how bad that ingratitude is by the fact that He lists it right in the middle, in the mix of some very wicked things. Amen. He said, preacher, I'm not guilty of some of that. I'm not guilty of some of those things. Yeah, but if you're guilty of being unthankful, then the door's open and the potential's there for the devil to work any of those other things in your life. Are you listening? Could we say that being unthankful would lead the way, pave the way, clear the way for you to be loose and listen? And don't ever trust your flesh. I know that's elementary preaching. Don't ever trust your flesh because you never know. Listen, you possess the potential at any given time to do anything that's in the black catalog of sin. Amen. And I've just come to the place in these days where I'm not going to be surprised at nothing. I've heard things here of late, and I thought, Lord, have mercy. How can people do that? But I also want to know this, I can as well. My flesh is not saved. How many knows your flesh is not saved? Miss June does. Me. Praise God, we raised our hand. We know that our flesh is not saved this morning. Our flesh is wicked and ungodly. And I'll tell you what your flesh hates. It hates bowing underneath the authority and the majesty of God and bless His name and thank Him and give Him praise. The devil hates that, the flesh hates that, and the world hates that. Amen? By giving thanks to God, we make manifest the fact that our lives are not controlled by cares and concerns of this life. We give testimony to the fact that material things do not dictate my spiritual level, my spiritual life. By giving thanks, I'm talking about. By giving thanks, we're saying cares and concerns are not going to control me. My testimony is going to rise above material things that I have or that I don't have. Forgetfulness is the downfall of thankfulness. And we could say a lot of other things. But are we guilty this morning of being unthankful? Are we unthankful this morning? And I've preached this here before out of 2 Timothy 3, the one that was right next to unthankful. Actually, the next one mentioned right after unthankful is unholy, which further supports what I just said, that if we're guilty of being unthankful, do not retain God in our knowledge. That is, we never think about God. We don't have God in our mind. We're not thinking about Him. We're not thinking about the Scripture. We're not thinking about, you know, the Lord. Then all these other things can come in our life. You ought to be able to look at what you think about and know the direction you're going in. If you're thinking about God, you're retaining Him in your knowledge. He's on your mind. Amen. Listen, that tells me you're headed in a Godward direction. You've got Him on your mind. Amen. You're interested in what He thinks about you. You're interested in pleasing Him. Amen. But if, listen, you don't go, listen, how many of us, God help us to not be able to say amen to that, but I'm afraid we do go through a day, a 24-hour period. How many times does God come through our mind? How many times do we think about God? My. I promise you this, if you're not thinking about Him, you definitely are not talking to Him. Amen. No doubt about that. There's a lot that we could say about that, but I believe God wants us to see the magnitude of that. All right, let's turn to Psalm 69. This verse is on my mind. I wanted to point this out. Probably doesn't have much connection with what we've been saying far as... Well, it does, really. It does have something to do with it, too. It does show, this verse does show us how big thanksgiving is to God, how big it is to Him. He showed us that by putting it, listing it, Brother Brian, in with those two lists of wickedness, ungodliness of the last days. And listen to this. God is saying there in 2 Timothy 3, identifying the last days, this is the way it's going to be. These are the characteristics of men, humanity, that's going to be prior to the coming of the Lord. And it's unthankful. I believe He's telling us the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, if we're not careful, we will be just like the world in that we will become materialistic. We'll become, our thoughts will be given to possessions and what I can get and how much money I have and what I've got in the bank and what I need to buy and what, you know, all of that sort of thing. We can get into that. We can get caught up into the same mentality that the world has. Of course, it's normal, Brother Frankie, for the world to be unthankful. It's a normal thing, Brother Bob, for a lot of those people that you deal with in your course of your business, you know, your work, that they're not going to be thankful people. They're probably not going to be thankful people. Right? I mean, that's all normal stuff. But it ought to not be normal for saints of God to be unthankful. It ought not to be a natural thing. We ought to not look at it lightly. We ought to look at it as a big thing. Look at this verse in Psalm 69. Hold your place right there. I want to read another verse a couple of chapters over. Listen, just listen to this. Psalms 92 and verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing his praises unto the name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery and upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works! Exclamation mark. And thy thoughts are very deep. I mean, look at it. He said, Lord, it is a good thing for us to give thanks. Let me ask you this, if it's a good thing to give thanks, then what is it if we don't give thanks? It's a bad thing if we don't give thanks, and it's a bad thing in that it's sin. God says we're to be thankful. He's telling us to be thankful. He tells us that's what we are to do, that the Spirit of God leads in that direction in the book of Colossians and Ephesians. In fact, Ephesians chapter 5 shows us that one of the evidence of being filled with the Spirit of God is that you will be thankful. Amen? Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart as unto the Lord. And then it said, be thankful. The Spirit of God, when He has control in your life, will produce gratitude as well as godliness in our life. Oh, yes. Listen to this verse. We'll be reading Psalm 69 in a minute. Listen to this verse, Psalms 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Forget means it's not on my mind. It's not in my mind. Again, that further supports that what I said earlier, that there's a connection between your thinking and thanking. There's a connection between thoughtfulness and thankfulness. If it's not on our mind and we don't have God on our mind and we're not taking the roll call of God's blessings in our life, then we'll start taking things for granted and we'll turn into grumblers instead of praisers and worshipers. God says in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. All that's within me. All that's within me. If thanksgiving's not in you, it'll not come out of you. All that's within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. What are some of them? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? How many of us have thanked God for that? Thank you, Lord, for redeeming us. Thank you for paying the sin debt. Thank you for canceling and removing my sin, my condemnation. He forgiveth all. I like that word, all. He forgiveth all thy iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. My goodness, if the devil had his way, you wouldn't be here this morning in church. Your life would be one of destruction this morning. He redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. God's been good to us. Look at Psalms 69. Psalm 69 in verse 30. By the way, Psalm 69 is the most quoted psalm in the New Testament. Psalm 69 is. Look at verse 30. David is saying these words. David said, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with what? Thanksgiving. David said that it is through thanksgiving that God is magnified. Now then, of course, you're not going to be interested too much in the thanksgiving part here if you're not also interested in the magnifying part. That is, you want God to be magnified. You want Him to be praised. A saint of God willfully, deliberately, intentionally, personally chooses that which you know will honor the Lord. Right? God says here, I want you to know what magnifies me is thanksgiving. That sounds pretty big to me. Sounds pretty big, don't it, you? He said he's magnified with thanksgiving. And look at verse 31. And this, of course, referring back, let me make sure I'm right on that. Yep, verse number 31. This is pointing back to that thanksgiving that was just mentioned. This also shall please the Lord. This is referring to the thanksgiving that magnifies the Lord. He says that this pleases the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hooves, referring no doubt to something to do with the sacrifice. Are you looking? Verse 32, the humble shall see this. Shall see what? Shall see that magnifying of God that comes through thanksgiving. God wants us to thank Him this morning. God wants thanksgiving to be a major part, major deal in our life. Amen. Magnify Him. The word magnify in that verse means to make large. Now wait a minute. To make large, that don't mean that when I thank Him that I make Him bigger than He is. He can increase, He cannot decrease. He can't get big and He can't get little. Okay, well then what's the bigness here? What to make large? That is just like a magnifying lens. It doesn't change the object. It only changes the observation of the object. In fact, there's two types, maybe more than that, two types I know of magnification that we know of. There is telescopic, and then there's microscopic. We've all heard of a telescope. We've all heard of a microscope. Those are two different types of magnification. What are they? What does a telescope do? What does a telescope do when you look through it? See, that's the thing he's pointing out here with magnifying. The Lord, through thanksgiving, it allows people to look through your thanksgiving and see, just like looking through a telescope, which does what? Makes distant things close. That's what a telescope does. And to a lot of people, Jesus is distant. He's probably just a passing thought occasionally to most people, even in church. But if there's an abundance of people magnifying the Lord with thanksgiving, that will enable people to look through that and see the magnified God. See that distant object is drawn in close. Amen. So that's what a telescope does. It makes distant things close. But then there's the microscopic magnification. What does that do? What does a microscope do? Microscope makes small things big. And to a lot of people, Jesus is very small. But Brother Dylan, if our thanksgiving, and God says He's magnified through thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, He's magnified. That enables people to look through our thanksgiving and our gratitude. They don't see us. That's not it. No, when you look through a telescope, you don't brag on the telescope. You brag about the object that the telescope is directed to and pointed in and got focus on. You don't brag, and the microscope the same way. You don't say, wow, what a microscope. No, you talk about the object that you're seeing through that microscope, and that our thanksgiving ought to be telescopic. It ought to be microscopic. It ought to cause people to be able to look through our thanksgiving and see God in a big way. Amen. Without the telescope and without the microscope, neither one of the objects will be seen. One's too far away and one's too small. So with that being said, simply put, if you and I are not thankful and we're not, listen, that's not talking about just thankful in the heart. It's talking about verbal too. It's talking about visible. People watching you and listening to you and you giving God praise. I've heard people say this and I don't know, listen, they say, oh, preacher, I'm reluctant to get up and say anything because I don't want nobody looking at me. Listen, that is not what's happening. When you're magnifying the Lord with thanksgiving and you're giving adoration to the Lord and you're praising Him, they're not looking at you. They are looking through you. Amen? How many people don't ever say anything because they say, I'm backwards? How many people don't ever say anything much about the Lord because they say, preacher, I'm just shy, you know, I'm just shy. Are you shy about everything? Are you shy about everything? Now you better think clear before you answer that. Are you shy and backwards about everything? People won't talk about the Lord, but they'll talk about a good restaurant down the road that's got something good to eat. They won't talk about the Lord, but they'll talk about a blue light special they seen down at Kmart somewhere. Or some special they found a good deal on something, man, they'll talk about that. Or if the Tennessee Vols win, they'll talk about that. Are y'all listening? I say, are you shy about everything? Then if you're not shy and backwards about everything, then it's not a shy issue. It's a spiritual issue. Come on now. Hey, grannies. Grannies and grandpas in here, are you shy about your grandchildren? Oh, you just light up and glow. Oh, preacher, they're called grand for a reason. I've heard them. I've not had any, maybe 180 before I have any, but that's all right. But listen, I've heard grandparents say this. If I'd have known that grandbabies would have been this special, I wouldn't have had babies. I would have just had grandbabies. And when grandbabies, I've been told now, like I said, I can't preach from experience, but I've been told that when grandbabies come along the scene, they just kindly take the grandbabies and push Amber out of the way, right, Miss Amber? Well, I mean, let's look right here. Here's a classic illustration right here. Miss Amber's over here by her little self, and over there's the babies. They might say hi to you every once in a while. Don't even do that, yeah. Are you shy about your grandbabies? Are you shy about them? Oh, preacher, did you know that I got a new grandbaby? No, I didn't know that. Hey, I just happen to have a picture. Of course, they don't pull out their billfold now. They pull out their cell phone where they've got 400,000 pictures in there. So, oh, look at it. You know, ain't he precious? Look at that. Just flipping through them pictures, you know. Look at them. Come on, you're doing it too, Brother Frankie. Or she does it, rather. Are you shy about the grandbabies? Are you shy about a pay raise? Are you shy about a new vehicle you get? Are you shy about that? No, I say it again. I've never said it before this morning. If you're not shy about everything, then it's not a shy issue. You're not talking about the Lord is not a shy issue if you're not shy about everything. If you're vocal about some things and not vocal about God, then it's not a shy issue, it's a spiritual thing. Woo, that went over good, didn't it? But that's the truth, ain't it? So magnify means to make large, to advance, to boast of, to lift up, to show to be excellent, to make great. To make important. What you magnify verbally and visibly is important to you. It means to not only make great and show to be important, to be excellent, to be powerful. When you magnify something, you're showing something that has power in your life and influence in your life. God said, oh, will you magnify me? Magnify Him with thanksgiving. And so that's what we need to do. Amen. Everybody here is I wrote this down this morning. Everybody here is magnifying something. Your life is being used visibly and verbally to magnify something or someone. Here in this passage, the magnification talked about of thanksgiving is connected to praise in the next verse. Amen. This magnification that is talked about here of thanksgiving is also visible to other people. As verse 32 says, the humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. Amen. When something is viewed, when something is magnified to view, listen, this is good. When something is magnified to view, it means the details are seen. When you look up and you see the moon, you know you see the moon. It was bright as everything this week. But you look at the moon, you know, you can say, well, there's the moon. I can see the moon. But you can't see the details. But you bring it into a telescope and you can see surface issues. You see craters and whatever, you know, other details like that. Details are seen. We need to show details about the Lord in our testimony, in our thankfulness. Let me give you a few more things here. Magnifying the Lord in thanksgiving, I've already said this, pleases the Lord, verse 31. The word pleases means to be glad, joyful, show favor, honor. You honor the Lord. It honors the Lord. It pleases the Lord. It makes Him happy, makes Him glad when you and I are magnifying Him with thanksgiving. Amen. Oh, that's good. So God wants us to magnify Him this morning. And I know it's scattered and everything, but I believe God wanted us to just really try to drive home the fact that thanksgiving is a big, big thing. It's not small. God listed in with wickedness. And you know what really ought to stir your heart to thanksgiving? Is that that you and I are to realize that everything you have, God gave it to you. Psalms 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. 1 Timothy 6:7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Job 1:21, and he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Ecclesiastes 5:15, he came forth of his mother's womb. Naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. What ought to stir us this morning to gratitude is to realize what God has given us. If He hadn't given it to us, we wouldn't have it. God's been good to us. And we're to magnify Him with thanksgiving. And we're to ask Him to forgive us for ingratitude this morning. Amen.